Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of this scroll. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I'll give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen."
Cursed is the one who adds or takes away from the scroll of prophecy. Revelation 22, let me read those verses again for us. "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone who adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll, the scroll of prophecy, God will take away that from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll." These instructions for a short sermon on a hot day, you might hope so. But it's what it's actually saying is, don't change the book. Don't try and fill in the gaps as to what God has not said. Don't take out the bits that you actually find hard to accept or comprehend. And the instruction is issued under the premise that the king is coming soon. But we also read it in the context of those first verses we looked at the start of Revelation. Revelation 1, verse 3, where it says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." Cursed is the one who changes them. Blessed is the one who receives them and takes them to heart. We spent weeks delving into Revelation, unpacking it. Hopefully your brain has been a little bit fried, mine has, as we've tried to understand some of it. Today we conclude that journey. We don't conclude your own journey in Revelation, and hopefully you've been built up as a Christian in being able to read it and actually get fruit from it. Receive that blessing. As we've looked through Revelation, have you received these words? Have you taken them to heart? Today through Revelation, Jesus beckons us to receive these words again. In this chapter, we're reminded of some of the truth of the book of Revelation, and it comes with an urgency. Verse 7, look, I'm coming soon. Verse 12, look, I'm coming soon. Verse 20, yes, I'm coming soon. So Revelation 1:3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, what is written in it, because the time is near. And 22, verse 7, blessed is the one who keeps the word of this prophecy written in this scroll. So what is the blessing? This is in knowing that this is a book about Jesus. No other book in the Bible so enthrones Jesus as the book of Revelation. The whole of Revelation is indeed, in some senses, a throne room encounter. John, as he encountered Jesus in his vision, us, as we encounter Jesus in his vision explained. We're approaching the King. As we look at Revelation, we're approaching the Lamb who was slain and the Lamb who now reigns. He's teaching us to approach him, and he's inviting us to approach him. He's calling us into his holiness, his presence, and he's calling us to holiness. He's calling us to be a priestly people, and he's equipping us as a priestly people. Our friends, this morning we're reminded of the choice that we have. Our cling to other things or pursue Jesus. We're going to start with the verse that I found the hardest, verse 11, and let me read it for you. It says, let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong, let the vile person continue to be vile, let the one who does right continue to do right, and let the holy person continue to be holy. I look at this verse and it almost seems like a defeater of the whole passage. We'll just continue as you are. But that's not what it's saying. It's not saying don't invite someone who is living apart from Jesus to Jesus. It's not saying that we shouldn't care. It's saying let people make their choice. Warn people, but let people make their choice. It warns us all, in a sense, make a choice. If you continue what you're doing, you'll end up with the result, the fruit of your work. So why does it warn us? Why are we to be holy? It's that message, he is coming soon. Why do we not take part in evil? He is coming soon. So why are we to be holy? He is coming soon and he will reward us. 22 verse 12, it says this. It says, look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. My reward is in my presence, in my company, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. It's not putting forward an idea that we build up our rewards in heaven in this particular passage. What it's talking about is, in the end, when Jesus returns, we'll receive the reward for what we've done. Both those saved through their belief in Jesus and those who have rejected Jesus will receive their reward when he returns again. When you run a race, you run it to hit the end. You run it to finish the race. You do the best that you can. When you're called to run a race, you usually run the race within the rules of the race, in the boundaries. Otherwise, you get disqualified. In some senses, this points to how we need to run the race to Jesus. The person who doesn't follow Jesus tries to step outside the rules, hoping that in the end that they'll cross the boundary, they'll cross that line and receive their reward. And Jesus is telling us that the reward is found through him. I'm reminded of, as I've read this particular verse, of Lance Armstrong, how he won all those Tour de Frances, and how in the end, whether you agree or whether you don't, he took drugs. At the end, he didn't receive his reward. His reward was taken away from him because he didn't run or didn't ride within the rules of the race. We are invited to run towards the throne of Jesus. The question is, do we say, okay, I'll accept the invitation and live for the one who invited me, or do we reject it? It's a really simple question. Maybe we wait for a better offer, a shorter path, an easier run. Jesus issues this statement. He has the authority to issue this statement as the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is the first and the last. What does that mean? He was the one that was there when the world was created. He is the one that will be there bringing judgment in when the world ends. He's the one that created us. He's the one that has the final say over our destiny. He's the one whose hand sustains the world by the word of his power. He's the one that knows our destiny. And he's the one that will reward us with a prize. So how are we made holy? How are we made ready to receive a reward? How do we run this race? Well, in the next verses, we see verse 14, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city." Blessed are those who have washed their robes. They will enter. They will cross the line, receive the reward. You may catch here a little reference back to an early part of Revelation. If you want to flick to Revelation 7, in verse 14, one of the elders asks the questions. There's a bunch of people around the throne worshipping Jesus. They're in white robes. And the elder says, well, who are these people in the white robes? Where do they come from? Why are they there at the throne? And the answer is, they are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So how are we made holy? They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb is Jesus, and this passage points us to how our redemption is found in Jesus, in his blood shed on the cross, and how you notice how their robes are white. Now, before God, we wear robes that are, in a sense, display all the actions of our lives. And let's say you look at my robes and you see all the things that I've done. You'd see lots of dots and holes, and they'd be torn, stained. In many ways, I would not be presentable. Well, no, the fact is, I would not be presentable before God. Now, Jesus washes our robes and makes us white. Think of the most vile, most shameful things that you've done. The things that make you most unworthy before a holy king. He washes them white as snow. It's not like white king and it sort of works, but sometimes it doesn't work and you've got to throw it out. Jesus washes you as white as snow, like the stain was there, never there before. And so that is how we are made holy and how we are able to stand before the king. That's how we're able to run the race, because he robes us for us and enables us to finish through him. Now, it's those who wash their robes in the blood of Jesus who are able to eat of the tree of life. What you see in here is they've been given a new permission, a new authority. Before, you were not able to eat of the tree of life. You were, in fact, banned. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden because they ate of the tree of life when they did not have permission. Now, the gates of the city are no longer locked. We have a new authority. A new inclusiveness. We're no longer excluded. No longer is God's presence going to wax and wane, come and go. He'll be present at all times, and he's prepared a home for each of us who believe in the new city. So we're invited to this holy heavenly city, yet outside are those who have chosen other things over Jesus, who have chosen to believe lies instead of following the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Many will choose a good way for salvation. Many will choose a way that sounds fine, looks noble, appears righteous. But those who don't find their way in Jesus are outside the walls of the city. So what we do when we reject Jesus is reject his invitation to life. When we reject his invitation to life, we accept an invitation to judgment. With this invitation, eternity is at stake with each of us. You see, the destination is shame, judgment, punishment, because those who reject Jesus have rejected and treated the one who brings the message with contempt by rejecting the message. Those who reject Jesus, whether they do good, and a lot of people do a lot of good, whether they do good or evil, have no place in receiving the reward of life that Jesus offers. Instead, judgment. Now it's not an easy message for me to speak. It should be a message that causes each of our hearts to weep. That those who don't receive Jesus will receive judgment. Inside the city, on the other hand, are those who have responded to the invitation of life. Those who've come to Jesus, those who receive the reward of life. And this should capture our hearts and our minds as we are invited into a city that is made perfect, as we are invited to be in the presence of God, as we are invited to a world, a new world, a new creation where everything bad is made good, where everything wrong is made right, where everything broken is made new. Revelation issues us with an invitation. Chapter 22, verse 17. The bride, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the free gift of life, of the water of life. Now you see here, there's a double invitation. There's come, Lord Jesus. And the invitation, come to Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come to Jesus. It's an invitation issued by the Holy Spirit and the Bride of Christ. And when it mentions the Bride of Christ, it speaks of the church. So we, as a church, take part in that invitation, that first part. When it refers to the us, the bride, we join together with the Spirit in issuing that invitation, come. So the first invitation, come, Lord Jesus. Because we have the first fruits, because each of us know that the world we live in is broken, because we have the first fruits in jars of clay, we long for a life which is made perfect. We long for our redemption. We cry out for it as our relationships, as our work, as everything we put our hands to does not quite work as perfectly as we want. Our world cries out for redemption. You may feel it more at some time, you may feel it less at others, but the reality is that we as a world cry out to be redeemed. We long for the King of Glory to come, to rid the world of evil, to establish his kingdom in glory. Well, the second invitation, it's a call. Come all who don't believe in Jesus, come to Jesus. The cry of the Spirit and the cry of all of our hearts should be, come to Jesus. See, the Spirit delights in bringing glory to Jesus, and Jesus is exalted when those come to him. And the Spirit celebrates when those who come to Jesus find life in him. And when the Spirit celebrates, the bride, the church, us, we celebrate. Our heads, our hearts, our bodies, our lives as Christian were made to call people to Jesus. So those of us who have heard the word of God, those of us who have believed it in our hearts, are called, invite others, come to Jesus, meet him, find life. Now you may say, well, what does it take? Okay, I want to come to Jesus. Well, what qualifies me to finish this race? What qualifies me to call other people to come to Jesus? What qualification? Look with me closely at this passage. It's really simple. Let the one who hears say, come. If you've heard the message of the truth, of the hope found in Jesus, you're qualified to invite others to come to Jesus. That's the only qualification you need. And the only qualification we need to receive the gift of life is to take the free gift of life. So freely, Jesus offers life. No hurdles, no paying your own way, no trying to keep all the rules and be a good person. Just come to me. Take the free gift of life. There's no earning the right to follow Jesus. It's just come. Come to me. I'm reminded of a story of Charles Spurgeon. He tells it of a lady on her deathbed. And she said, all my life I've really struggled with the idea that the message of Christianity is so simple at its core. I've struggled that it could be so simple. I've wanted it to be more complex. And she said, finally now, on my deathbed, I'm comforted that it is so simple and that all I have to do is come to Jesus and take the free gift of life. The first invitation is asking Jesus to come to set the world right in judgment, in recreation. The second invitation is calling all people to find mercy in Jesus. He will come to judge. He will come, but the time is now to come to Jesus before he comes to judgment. And he gives us this opportunity that all people, without discrimination, it is a free gift, all people might come to Jesus. So the invitation is for us to be a people that say, come, Lord Jesus. As I got here early before the 8 o'clock service, the front projectors weren't working and I couldn't get them to work, and I thought, well, the back projector's working. In a sense, that would be a good exercise for us as a church to turn around and declare outwards Jesus' glory, to declare outwards that call, come to Jesus, to be a people that say, come to Jesus. Today, the invitation to all of us is come. It's simple. Today, all of us should call out, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come to Jesus. To us who hear, we say to others, come to Jesus. To the thirsty, come to Jesus. All who long for more in life, come to Jesus. Jesus says, come to me. To the one who's tired after a hot night, come to Jesus. So the one who feels isolated and alone, come to Jesus. To the person whose life is great, come to Jesus. To the person struggling to know their purpose, come to Jesus. To the one stuck in sin and shame, come to Jesus. To the person flat in their faith, come to Jesus. To the person overwhelmed by being a parent, a father, a mother, come to Jesus. To those struggling in their health, come to Jesus. To the one who is broken, the one who is lost, the one who is ashamed, the one who is mournful, the one who is thirsting, the one who longs in any way, come to Jesus. We're going to have a time to respond now. I'm going to play a song, and during that song, I'd like you to reflect on where you stand before Jesus, where you stand with that invitation, come to me. Use that time, maybe if you do want to come to Jesus, to sing the words to the song will be up on the screen, to just approach him. It's no requirement, no hurdle. He invites you in.
By grace alone, somehow I stand, where even angels fear to tread. Invited by redeeming love, before the throne of God above, He pulls me close with nail-scarred hands into His everlasting arms. When condemnation grips my heart and Satan tempts me to despair, I hear the voice that scatters fear. Oh, the great I am, the Lord is here. Oh, praise the one who fights for me and shields my soul eternally. I approach your throne, blameless now I'm running home. By your blood I come, welcomed as your own, into the arms of majesty. Bright and risen sun, more beauty than this world has known. I'm face to face with love himself, his perfect, spotless righteousness.